Gerusalemme liberata, Jerusalem delivered, by Torquato Tasso, 1544 to 1595. Translated by Edward Fairfax, 1560 to 1635. The second book. The argument. Ismeno conjures, but his charms are vain. Aladdin will kill the Christians in his ire. Sophronia and Alindo would be slain to save the rest. The king grants their desire. Clorinda hears their fact and fortune's plain. Their pardon gets and keeps them from the fire. Argantes, when Aletes' speeches are despised, defies the duke to mortal war. While thus the tyrant bends his thoughts to arms, Ismeno gan to fore his sight appear. Ismen's dead bones laid in cold graves that warms and makes them speak, smell, taste, touch, see, and hear. Ismen, with terror of his mighty charms, that makes great dis in deepest hell to fear, that binds and looses souls condemned to woe, and sends the devils on errands to and fro. A Christian once, Mahon he now adores, nor could he quite his wonted faith forsake, but in his wicked arts both oft implores help from the Lord and aid from Pluto black. He from deep caves by Acheron's dark shores, where circles vain and spells he used to make, to advise his king in these extremes is come. Achitophel so counseled Absalom. My liege, he says, the camp fast hither moves. My axe is laid unto this cedar's root. But let us work as valiant man behoves, for boldest heart's good fortune helpeth out. Your princely care, your kingly wisdom proves. Well have you labored, well foreseen about. If each perform his charge and duty so, naught but his grave here conquer shall hit your foe. From surest castle of my secret cell I come, partaker of your good and ill. What counsel sage or magic sacred spell may profit us, all that perform I will. The sprites impure from bliss that whilom fell shall to your service bow, constrained by skill. But how we must begin this enterprise, I will your highness thus in brief advise. Within the Christian's church, from light of skies, a hidden altar stands, far out of sight, on which the image consecrated lies of Christ's dear mother, called a virgin bright, and 100 lamps burn before her eyes, she in a slender veil of tinsel dight. On every side great plenty doth behold of offerings brought, myrrh, frankincense, and gold. This idol would I have removed away from thence, and by your princely hand transport. In Macon's sacred temple safe it lay, which then I will enchant in wondrous sort, that while the image in that church doth stay, no strength of arms shall win this noble fort, or shake this puissant wall. Such passing might have spells and charms, if they be set aright. Advised thus, the king impatient flew in his fury to the house of God. The image took, with words unreverent, abused the prelates who that deed forebode. Swift with his prey, away the tyrant went. Of God's sharp justice naught he feared the rod, but in his chapel vile the image laid, on which the enchanter charms and witchcraft said. When Phoebus next unclosed his wakeful eye, up rose the sexton of that place profane, and missed the image where it used to lie, each where he sought in grief, in fear, in vain. Then to the king his loss he gan descry, who, sore enraged, killed him for his pain. and straight conceived in his malicious wit, some Christian bade this great offense commit. But whether this were act of mortal hand, or else the Prince of Heaven's eternal pleasure, that of his mercy would this wretch withstand, nor let so vile a chest hold such a treasure, as yet conjecture hath not fully scanned. By godliness let us this action measure, and truth of purest faith will fitly prove that this rare grace came down from heaven above. With busy search the tyrant gan to invade each house, each hold, each temple, and each tent. To them the fault or faulty one bewrayed or hid, he promised gifts or punishment. His idle charms the false enchanter said, but in this maze still wandered and miswent, for heaven decreed to conceal the same, to make the miscreant more to feel his shame. But when the angry king discovered not what guilty hand this sacrilege had wrought, his ireful courage boiled in vengeance hot against the Christians, whom he falters thought. All ruth, compassion, mercy he forgot. A staff to beat that dog he long had sought. "Let them all die," quoth he, "kill great and small. So shall the offender perish sure withal. Spill the wine with poison mixed with spares. Slay then the righteous with the faulty one. Destroy this field that yieldeth naught but tares. With thorns this vineyard all is overgone. Among these wretches is not one that cares for us, our laws, or our religion. Up, up, dear subjects, fire and weapon take. Burn, murder, kill these traitors for my sake. This Herod thus would Bethlehem's infants kill. This Christian soon this direful news receive. The trump of death sounds in their hearing shrill. Their weapon, faith, their fortress was the grave. They had no courage, time, device, or will to fight, to fly, excuse, or pardon crave, but stood prepared to die. Yet help they find whence least they hope. Such knots can heaven unbind. Among them dwelt, her parents' joy and pleasure, a maid whose fruit was ripe, not over-yeared. Her beauty was her not esteemed treasure, the field of love with plough of virtue eared. Her labor, goodness, godliness her leisure, her house the heaven by this full moon eye cleared. For there, from lover's eyes withdrawn, alone, with virgin beams this spotless Cynthia shone. But what availed her resolution chaste, whose soberest looks were whetstones to desire? Nor love consents that beauty's field lie waste. Her visage set Alindo's heart on fire. O subtle love, a thousand wiles thou hast, by humble suit, by service, or by hire, to win a maiden's hold, a thing soon done, for nature framed all women to be won. Sophronia she, Alindo hight the youth, both of one town, both in one faith were taught, she fair, he full of bashfulness and truth, loved much, hoped little, and desired naught. He durst not speak by suit to purchase ruth, she saw not, marked not, wist not what he sought. Thus loved, thus served he long, but not regarded, unseen, unmarked, unpitied, unrewarded. To her came message of the murderment, wherein her guiltless friends should hopeless starve. She that was noble, wise, as fair and gent, cast how she might their harmless lives preserve. Zeal was the spring whence flowed her hardiment. From maiden shame yet was she loath to swerve. Yet had her courage ta'en so sure a hold, that boldness, shame-faced, shame had made her bold. And forth she went, a shop for merchandise, full of rich stuff, but none for sale exposed. A veil obscured the sunshine of her eyes, the rose within herself her sweetness closed. each ornament about her seemly lies, by curious chance or careless art composed. For what the most neglects, most curious prove, so beauty's helped by nature, heaven, and love. Admired of all, on went this noble maid, until the presence of the king she gained. Nor for he swelled with ire was she afraid, but his fierce wrath with fearless grace sustained. "I come," quoth she, "but be thine anger stayed, and causeless rage against faultless souls restrained. I come to show thee and to bring thee both the wight whose fact hath made thy heart so wroth." Her molest boldness, and that lightning ray which her sweet beauty streamed on his face, had struck the prince with wonder and dismay, changed his cheer, and cleared his moody grace. That had her eyes disposed their looks to play, the king had snared been in love's strong lace. But wayward beauty doth not fancy move, a frown forbids, a smile engendereth love. It was amazement, wonder, and delight, although not love, that moved his cruel sense. "Tell on," quoth he, "unfold the chance aright, thy people's lives I grant for recompense." Then she, "Behold, the falter here in sight, this hand committed that supposed offense. I took the image, mine that fault, that fact, mine be the glory of that virtuous act. This spotless lamb thus offered up her blood to save the rest of Christ's selected fold. Oh, noble lie, was ever truth so good? Blessed be the lips that such a leasing told." Thoughtful a while remained the tyrant wood. His native wrath he gan a space withhold, and said, "That thou discover soon I will. What aid, what counsel hadst thou in that ill?" "My lofty thoughts," she answered him, "envied another's hand should work my high desire. The thirst of glory can no partner bide. With mine own self I did alone conspire." "On thee alone," the tyrant then replied, "shall fall the vengeance of my wrath and ire."
"'Tis just and right," quoth she, "I yield consent. Mine be the honor, mine the punishment."
The wretch, of new enraged at the same, asked where she hid the image so conveyed.
"Not hid," quoth she, "but quite consumed with flame. The idol is of the eternal maid, for so at least I have preserved the same with hands profane from being eft betrayed. My lord, the thing thus stolen, demand no more. Here see the thief that scorneth death therefore. And yet no theft was this, yours was the sin. I brought again what you unjustly took."
This heard, the tyrant did for rage begin to whet his teeth and bend his frowning look. No pity, youth, fairness, no grace could win. Joy, comfort, hope, the virgin all forsook. Wrath killed remorse, vengeance stopped mercy's breath, love's thrall to hate, and beauty's slave to death. Ta'en was the damsel, and without remorse the king condemned her guiltless to the fire. Her veil and mantle plucked they off by force, and bound her tender arms in twisted wire. Dumb was the silver dove, while from her course these hungry kites plucked off her rich attire. And for some deal perplexed was her sprite, her damask late now changed to purest white. The news of this mishap spread far and near. The people ran, both young and old, to gaze. Olindo also ran, and gan to fear his lady was some partner in this case. But when he found her bound, stripped from her gear, and vile tormentors ready, saw in place, he broke the throng and into presence brast, and thus bespake the king in rage and haste. "Not so, not so, this grief shall bear away from me the honor of so noble feat. She durst not, did not,
could not so convey the massy substance of that idol great. What sleight had she the wardens to betray? What strength to heave the goddess from her seat? No, no, my lord, she sails but with my wind. Ah, thus he loved, yet was his love unkind. He added further, where the shining glass lets in the light amid your temple's side, by broken byways did I inward pass, and in that window made a postern wide. Nor shall therefore this ill-advised lass usurp the glory should this fact betide. Mine be these bonds, mine be these flames so pure. O glorious death, more glorious sepulture! Sophronia raised her modest looks from ground, and on her lover bent her eyesight mild. Tell me, what fury, what conceit unsound, presenteth here to death so sweet a child? Is not in me sufficient courage found to bear the anger of this tyrant wild? Or hath fond love thy heart so overgone? Wouldst thou not live, nor let me die alone? Thus spake the nymph, yet spake but to the wind. She could not alter his well-settled thought. O miracle, O strife of wondrous kind, where love and virtue such contention wrought, where death the victor had for meed assigned, their own neglect each other's safety sought. But thus the king was more provoked to ire. Their strife for bellows served to anger's fire. He thinks such thoughts self-guiltiness finds out. They scorned his power, and therefore scorned the pain. Nay, nay, quoth he, let be your strife and doubt. You both shall win, and fit reward obtain. With that the surgeons hent the young man stout, and bound him likewise in a worthless chain. Then back to back, fast to a stake, both ties, two harmless turtles dight for sacrifice. About the pile of faggots, sticks, and hay, the bellows raised the newly kindled flame, when thus Olindo, in a doleful lay, begun too late his bootless plaints to frame. Be these the bonds? Is this the hoped-for day should join me to this long-desired dame? Is this the fire alike should burn our hearts? Ah, hard reward for lovers' kind desarts! Far other flames and bonds kind lovers prove, but thus our fortune casts the hapless die. Death hath exchanged again his shafts with love, and Cupid thus lets borrowed arrows fly. O Hymen, say what fury doth thee move to lend thy lamps to light a tragedy? Yet this contents me, that I die for thee. Thy flames, not mine, by my death and torment be. Yet happy were my death, mine ending blessed, my torments easy, full of sweet delight, if this I could obtain, that breast to breast thy bosom might receive my yielded sprite, and thine with it, in heaven's pure clothing dressed, through clearest skies might take united flight. Thus he complained, whom gently she reproved, and sweetly spake him thus that so her loved. Far other plaints, dear friend, tears and laments, the time, the place, and our estates require. Think on thy sins, which man's old foe presents before that judge that quits each soul his hire. For his name suffer, for no pain torments him whose just prayers to his throne aspire. Behold the heavens, thither thine eyesight bend, thy looks, sighs, tears, for intercessors send. The pagans loud cried out to God and man, the Christians mourned in silent lamentation. The tyrant's self, a thing unused, began to feel his heart relent with mere compassion. But not disposed to ruth or mercy then, he sped him thence home to his habitation. Sophronia stood not grieved nor discontented by all that saw her, but herself lamented. The lover standing in this doleful wise, a warrior bold, unwares, approached near, in uncouth arms, y-clad, and strange disguise, from countries far, but new arrived there. A savage tigress on her helmet lies, the famous badge Clorinda used to bear, that wants in every warlike stour to win, by which bright sign well known was that fair inn. She scorned the arts these silly women use. Another thought her nobler humor fed. Her lofty hand would of itself refuse to touch the dainty needle or nice thread. She hated chambers, closets, secret news, and in broad fields preserved her maidenhead. Proud were her looks, yet sweet, though stern and stout. Her dam a dove thus brought an eagle out. While she was young, she used with tender hand the foaming steed with frory bit to steer, to tilt and tourney, wrestle in the sand, to leave with speed Atalanta's swift arrear. Through forests wild and unfrequented land, to chase the lion, boar, or rugged bear, the satyrs rough, the fauns and fairies wild, she chased oft, oft took, and oft beguiled. This lusty lady came from Persia late. She with the Christians had encountered eft, and in their flesh had opened many a gate, by which their faithful souls their bodies left. Her eye at first presented her the state of these poor souls, of hope and help bereft. Greedy to know, as is the mind of man, their cause of death, swift to the fire she ran. The people made her room, and on them twain, her piercing eyes their fiery weapons dart. Silent she saw the one, the other plain. The weaker body lodged the nobler heart. Yet him she saw lament, as if his pain were grief and sorrow for another's smart, and her keep silence so, as if her eyes dumb orators were to entreat the skies. Clorinda changed her ruth, her warlike mood, few silver drops her vermeil cheeks to paint. Her sorrow was for her that speechless stood, her silence more prevailed than his complaint. She asked an aged man, seemed grave and good. "Come, say me, sir," quoth she, "what hard constraint would murder here love's queen and beauty's king? Who, what fault or fair doth to this death them bring?" Thus she inquired, an answer short he gave, but such as all the chance at large disclosed. She wondered at the case, the virgin brave, that both were guiltless of the fault supposed. Her noble thought cast how she might them save, the means on suit or battle she reposed. Quick to the fire she ran, and quenched it out, and thus bespake the sergeants and the rout. "Be there not one among you all that dare in this your hateful office aught proceed, till I return from court, nor take you care to reap displeasure for not making speed. To do her will the men themselves prepare, in their faint hearts her looks such terror breed. To court she went, their pardon would she get, but on the way the courteous king she met. "Sir King," quoth she, "my name Clorinda hight. My fame perchance has pierced your ears ere now. I come to try my wonted power and might, and will defend this land, this town, and you. All hard assays esteem I eath and light. Great acts I reach to small things I bow. To fight in field or to defend this wall, point what you list, I not refuse at all." To whom the king, "What land so far remote from Asia's coasts or Phoebus's glistering rays, O glorious virgin, that recordeth not thy fame, thine honor worth renown and praise? Since on my side I have thy succors got, I need not fear in these my aged days, for in thine aid more hope, more trust I have than in whole armies of these soldiers brave." Now Godfrey stays too long. He fears, I ween, thy courage great keeps all our foes in awe. For thee all actions far unworthy been, but such as greatest danger with them draw. Be you commandress, therefore, princess, queen of all our forces, be thy word a law. This said, the virgin gan her beaver veil, and thanked him first, and thus began her tale.
A thing unused, great monarch, may it seem, to ask reward for service yet to come, but so your virtuous bounty I esteem, that I presume for to entreat this groom, and silly maid, from danger to redeem, condemned to burn by your unpartial doom. I not excuse, but pity much their youth, and come to you for mercy and for ruth. Yet give me leave to tell your highness this. You blame the Christians, them my thoughts acquite. Nor be displeased. I say you judge him amiss. At every shot look not to hit the white. All what the enchanter did persuade you against the lore of Macon's sacred right, for us commandeth mighty Mahomet no idols in his temple pure to set. To him, therefore, this wonder done refar, give him the praise and honor of the thing. Of us the gods benign so careful are, lest customs strange into their church we bring. Let Ismen with his squares and trigons war, his weapons be the staff, the glass, the ring. But let us manage war with blows like knights. Our praise in arms, our honor lies in fights. The virgin held her peace when this was said, and though to pity he never framed his thought, yet, for the king admired the noble maid, his purpose was not to deny her aught. I grant them life, quoth he. Your promised aid against these Frenchmen hath their pardon bought, nor further seek what their offences be. Guiltless I quit, guilty I set them free. Thus were they loosed, happiest of humankind. Olindo, blessed be this act of thine, true witness of thy great and heavenly mind, where sun, moon, stars of love, faith, virtue shine. So forth they went, and left pale death behind, to joy the bliss of marriage rites divine. With her he would have died, with him content was she to live that would with her have brent. The king, as wicked thoughts are most suspicious, supposed too fast this tree of virtue grew. O blessed Lord, why should this Pharaoh vicious thus tyrannize upon thy Hebrews true? Who to perform his will, vile and malicious, exiled these and all the faithful crew, all that were strong of body, stout of mind, but kept their wives and children pledge behind. A hard division when the harmless sheep must leave their lambs to hungry wolves in charge, but labor's virtues watching ease her sleep, trouble best wind that drives salvation's barge. The Christians fled, whither they took no keep. Some strayed wild among the forests large, some to Emmaus, to the Christian host, and conquer would again their houses lost. End of part 1 of the 2nd book.